Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Welcome to Mavericks Comic Roundup here on the Totally Driven Radio Network. I am your host, The Maverick, and I do thank you for tuning in this Sunday morning. We've got a fun show lined up for you. We're going to talk about all the latest comic book news, which there seems to be some. We also have calling in a little bit later, Little Meggie, with one of her pony roundups, and she's very excited to tell us all about the Pigasus. So we'll find out what that means a little later on today. Plus, another six comics that I picked out this week that you should check out in the Six Shooter, and a whole lot more. So let's get right into it with the news. Yeah. All right, in comic book news this week, Harley Quinn creator Paul Dini returns for six issues or so, they're saying, a backup story in the regular Harley Quinn ongoing series from DC Comics. Starting in this week's Harley Quinn number 17, Harley Loves Joker. We'll take a look at the early years of Harley Quinn when she was still involved with the Clown Prince of Crime. I wonder if anybody actually really calls him the Clown Prince of Crime anymore. That's an older nickname that's fallen out of sorts. But yeah, really awesome to see Paul Dini back. Harley's back in the classic suit. It's got a bit of an animated series feel for fans of that, but it's definitely done for older comic book fans too. There's a couple suggestive moments, nothing too over the top, but it's really fun to see. Big Paul Dini fan, and it'll be interesting to see where that goes and what it leads up to, because I don't think it's coincidental that he's back just randomly. Well, it's official. Squirrel Girl is coming to television. Freeform has picked up the Marvel series New Warriors as a live-action comedy set to debut in 2018. The first season of the show is scheduled to be 10 30-minute episodes and will be about six young people with powers living and working together. That's a quote from the article itself. So far, only Squirrel Girl has been announced as a member of the team, or I guess it's going to be a team. No other members of the New Warriors have been named, and it's interesting that Squirrel Girl's never actually been a member of the New Warriors. So I wouldn't count on fan favorites like Nova and the like showing up there. It sounds like it's going to be – they're saying it's a stark contrast from the powers of the Avengers, so I think you're going to see more Squirrel Girl-like characters and fewer heavy hitters on the show. That's my speculation, of course. We don't know anything more yet. Freeform has also picked up Cloak and Dagger, so it looks like they're jumping headfirst into the Marvel pool. They have two shows coming up. Cloak and Dagger is going to be a much more serious, darker, and probably fitting for Freeform series. We'll see how New Warriors go, so we'll be keeping an eye on that. Good Morning America is getting on board with Free Comic Book Day. Marvel Comics will be making a special appearance on the ABC Morning Show on Friday, May the 5th, to promote both Free Comic Book Day and their Secret Empire event. Big time publicity for Free Comic Book Day. Awesome for Marvel, of course. Don't have to draw the line too to see where that came from. ABC, The Good Morning America, and Marvel Comics are both owned by Disney, and synergy is what they're all about. So it's really cool to see that Disney is getting on board with Free Comic Book Day and helping promote the comic book aspect of Marvel. We know they're very much into the movies, so it's cool to see them helping out and getting involved in the comic book aspect. So look for Marvel on Good Morning America as they talk more about Secret Empire. And speaking of Secret Empire. Boom, boom, boom. I feel like there should be a boom, boom, boom after Secret Empire. In a recent interview, Marvel's Vice President of Sales and Marketing, David Gabriel, has claimed after Secret Empire, Marvel will be putting to bed the quote-unquote big crossover event for at least 18 months. Don't you believe it? We know that both Marvel and DC love their big crossover event. The idea that they wouldn't be doing one for more than a year seems a little crazy. I think they may peel back on that. Unfortunately, I think many, many fans have got what they're calling event fatigue because we seem to be spinning from one event to another without so much as a chance to take in what's happened or for what has happened to actually take effect. Things move so quickly that they mean almost nothing, with people dying, coming back to life, turning evil, becoming good again, being replaced, being unreplaced. It's a lot. It's a whole lot. All right. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg have been hired to write, direct, and produce a live-action Invincible film for Universal Pictures. If you don't know who Invincible is, it is an Image comic book series created by Robert Kirkman, the same guy who created The Walking Dead, and is a long-standing Image title that will be ending very soon, actually. They're wrapping up. They're in the final story arc, the year-long arc called The End of All Things. Invincible is a really awesome concept. I really enjoyed it. It's the idea of a young teenager named Mark Grayson who finds out his dad is not only a Superman-type character in the world, but he's also inherited the powers of his father. And there is some really crazy twists and turns along the way. It is really a graphic, violent comic book at times. So it'll be interesting to see if they work that into it, or there's easily ways to make it a little more mainstream. But one of the things the book is known for is its full-on battles and lots of twists and turns. I think the first six issues would make an excellent movie. And then you have 200-some left to choose from. So if it works out well, we may see more Invincible movies in the future. I'm excited because I really did enjoy, especially the early years of Invincible. I've got a long-standing love-hate relationship with some of the stuff that happens in Invincible, but I have been reading from the start, and I have been following up on the end. So we'll see where everything goes. And congratulations to Kirkman for getting another one of his properties out there, this time in a movie. And I think with the powers and the characters of Invincible, a movie would work much better than, a TV series like The Walking Dead would work for Invincible, I mean. So, one more bit of news. Lots of Marvel news this week, and we're finishing out with Marvel, practically founder, Stan Lee. I know he's not the founder. Don't get all uppity. Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher from Star Wars, and of course Mark Hamill has done so many other comic book-related voices as the Joker, will be honored by being inducted into the Disney Legends Hall of Fame during the D23 Expo this July. Congratulations to them. They're in there with a lot of other great company, including Oprah Winfrey. So very cool that Marvel continues to grow and become an important part of the Disney family, which just gives us more content to take in and digest. So that's awesome for everybody. And that is the news for this year. So that's it. Almost a slow news week. We had some interesting things going on, but that's about it. We're going to take our commercial break for the show, and when we come back, Little Meggie's going to be here with Little Meggie's Pony Roundup, and she's ready to tell us about My Little Pony Friends Forever number 23 and the debut of The Pegasus. So we'll be back in about 3 minutes or so. Hang tight.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
All right, howdy heroes. Welcome back to Mavericks Comic Roundup here on the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network. Make sure you tune in all week long to our great shows all around the Totally Driven Radio Network land, including the Mojo Sports Show, the flagship Totally Driven Entertainment, and of course, Mavericks Comic Roundup every Sunday morning at 9. So, I do thank you for tuning in, and now we've got a special treat for you all. We have, coming back to the show for the first time in a while, is my lovely daughter, Megan, who is a big My Little Pony fan. And she, are you there? Howdy, Megan.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
I'm good.
All right, and you are here to talk My Little Pony comics.
Yep.
Yep. All right, so you've been telling me all about My Little Pony, Friends Forever, number 23.
Mm-hmm. So the main thing about this is something called the Pigasus.
The Pigasus. Now, we mentioned the Pigasus. I've been telling everybody on the internet about the Pigasus. What is the Pigasus?
The Pigasus is like a pig, but then it's half Pegasus. It's half pig, half Pegasus.
Half pig, half Pegasus. So it's literally a flying pig.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, and how does the Pigasus come into Ponyland? Is there a Pigasus land that we don't know about?
Actually, it's not in Ponyville. It's in, like, the woods. Because in the main story of it, Fluttershy and Applejack are going camping.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they go camping, and they find a Pigasus, and then what happens?
So they don't find it. Actually, there's, like, a convention about it where everyone tries to find it.
Okay, so like an urban legend?
Yeah, pretty much. But it's actually real.
Oh. Okay.
In the beginning, they Applejack and Fluttershy don't believe it, so it flies into their tent.
It flies into their tent?
Yeah.
That's
and then
scary
starts eating all their food.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So then what happens?
So Applejack tries to tell them that it's not real and they should give up looking for it, but they don't believe him. And he also tries saying that it belongs there in the forest. Thinks it belongs in a museum.
Oh, no. Why would it belong in a museum?
Because I think it's because, like, it's very magical and mystical.
Oh, okay.
It's a blue flying cake, though. Yeah.
Right. Which gives all new meaning to the saying, when pigs fly. Because, you know, now they do.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But then, there's also this person who is a big liar.
Oh, no.
Nessie, I think.
Name who?
I think her name is... No, Nosy. Her name is Nosy.
Nosy. The big liar named Nosy. Hmm. How appropriate.
Yeah.
And what's Nosy's part in all this?
She's trying to lie to everyone and say it's real, when she really doesn't know it's real.
Okay.
So if it wasn't real, then they would just be looking for a lie.
Okay, so she's just trying to throw people off the fence,
yeah,
so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Because she's a news reporter, so.
Oh, so she wants the story for herself.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Okay. So what happens with our friend the Pegasus?
So by the end of the story, Fluttershy actually tricks them. Tricks everyone by flying around in her blue sleeping bag. So everyone thinks she's the Pegasus. But then they figure out she was that Nosy was lying the whole time.
Uh-oh. Then what happened?
Then everyone was saying some crazy things like she faked the Pegasus picture and she belongs in the museum. Weird.
Oh, that is kind of weird. That sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm. And by the end, everyone starts chasing Nosy, and then they have their lovely camping trip.
Now, does Nosy get to come along on the camping trip, or they just get rid of Nosy for causing trouble?
Pretty much people just chase her out of the woods.
Okay. What about our friend the Pegasus?
He gets to stay in his home. He stays in his home.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah.
All ended well. So do you think we're going to see the Pegasus again? Do you think that's something they're going to have hanging out?
I don't know. Because usually with these, they don't match up to the actual story. So, like, it
okay.
was much. It was a few months after the books actually realized, oh, wait, the CMC have their teasing mark.
Okay. So the comic books are a little behind the times as far as the TV show goes.
Yeah.
So we haven't necessarily seen the Pegasus on TV?
No. Not yet.
Would you like to see the Pegasus on TV?
Yeah, I do. I want to see how they would do that.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
What else did you like about this comic? Is there anything?
Well, I love that in Star 2 of my... I love that the main two ponies were two of my favorites. Fluttershy and Applejack.
That's right. Fluttershy being the shy one that you really, really like.
Yeah. She's so cute.
And Applejack's the cowgirl. She's a little more sassy and upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
We like cowgirls on this show.
Yeah.
So, does the Pegasus make a lot of trouble for people, or is it just kind of doing its thing and getting chased?
it's kind of doing its thing. It's, well, it kind of makes a little trouble by, you know, eating their food and then messing around with ribbon and string and books that they just happen to have in backpacks.
Oh, cool.
So he's messing around a little bit, but...
Just a little bit, but mostly just living his Pegasus life, flying around.
And one of the cutest scenes in this whole little thing is when Fluttershy's cuddling with the Pegasus in her sleeping bag.
Aww. That's so cute.
It's really lucky that they have Fluttershy because she loves animals and she can speak to them and understand them.
Oh, so that does help. Someone who really loves animals and takes care of them. Which is one of the reasons why you like Fluttershy.
Yeah.
You like animals.
Yeah. Aww. And then another cute one is when the Pegasus is wearing Applejack's hat.
Oh, my. So now it's a flying pig in a cowgirl hat.
Yep, pretty much.
I can dig that. That should be its own comic book series. The Adventures of Cowgirl Pegasus.
Yeehaw! That would be funny.
But maybe we'll see more of the Pegasus, and maybe we'll see Pegasus on the show.
That would be cool. So, yeah. That was My Little Pony's French Level 23.
That's it. That was an awesome review that was. Thank you.
Thanks.
Of course. And if you want to check it out yourself, My Little Pony Friends Forever is available at your local comic store. They run about $3.99 an issue and are put out by IDW Comics. Megan, thank you for calling in this morning.
You're welcome. See ya. Bye.
Great. And bye-bye. She always brings us such awesome stuff. She brought us cheese sandwich, and now she brings us the Pegasus. So, a lot of fun. If you got a little one who loves My Little Pony, the animated series, or, you know, just loves fun, cute comics about talking rainbow-colored animals, including a Pegasus now, check out the My Little Pony, very popular My Little Pony line of comics from IDW. Very popular all-ages title. They do a great job with that book. They just branched into a new one, which we'll have Megan back to talk about very soon. And, more pony stuff. You guys seem to like the pony stuff. I always get great feedback on the My Little Ponies, and especially the Pegasus. And Cheese Sandwich was become a cult icon here on Maverick's Comic Roundup. I get lots of comments about him. So, that's it for the ponies. Yeah. And now it's time for the Six Shooter. Just a reminder, the Six Shooter is six comics that I have read this week and feel like sharing with you. They're my picks of things you may want to check out, things you may have never seen before or heard before, or just popular things that I was able to read and share with you. They are not necessarily what I consider the best comics out this week, but they are my picks that I wanted to share with you. This week, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. My number one pick for the Six Shooter is Harley Quinn number 17. Now, the main story, we talked a little bit about the backup. Harley Quinn creator is the big news here. Harley Quinn creator Paul Dini backed writing Harley Quinn in a really fun backup feature that features, you know, Harley and the Joker back in the classic, the ways I liked Harley and the Joker when I was introduced to them. Great character, very funny, plucky side relief, but she's grown into much more of a confident self. She's now a leader. She's got her own group of people that she looks after, and she's become a bit of an anti-hero, even though she's still kind of a nut job. But it's interesting to see the growth of the character, but it's also fun to look back at the animated-esque version of Harley. And it's nice to see, and I'm wondering, like I said, I imagine this is going somewhere, because they've been teasing Joker stuff in this series for a while, even though they're very much far apart and in very different places in the world. The main feature, however, features Harley investigating a bunch of homeless people disappearing all over town, And I thought, it's one of those things with Harley Quinn, you never know where it's coming. And when I first started reading it, I'm like, oh, they're going to do the vampire thing. And they so didn't do the vampire thing. They went a little different with it. And it's a very different kind of villainous group that Harley's looking after, or going after, I should say. And it's definitely one of those fun, over-the-top Harley Quinn books. So it's a great book altogether. You get a great backup feature featuring, you know, the creator, Paul Dini. And then the main story by Palmiotti and Connor have been phenomenal. It's really becoming a fun series. I enjoy it so much more than I thought I would. But when they keep doing these crazy over-the-top things, it's definitely fun to check out. So if you're a Harley fan, definitely check it out. If you're a Batman the Animated Series fan, definitely pick it up as well. But Harley Quinn 17/299 from DC Comics on sale this past Wednesday. The number two on my six-shooter this week, the second book, I should say, Faith, number 10 from Valiant Comics. I almost always include Faith. This is really a comic that everybody should be reading. It is really just a fun, it is everything comic books are meant to be, I think. And it just changes, takes the comic medium and kind of puts it on its ears. They do things very differently. That, you know, obviously the lead character is not your typical comic book character. She's a comic book fan. She's got a very normal outlook on life and a normal build. She's not built like a female bodybuilder or, you know, like a pinup model. And it's always a great series, and they always do things in a unique way. And, of course, this one, the forming of the Faithless, Faith's recent foes have all joined together in a typical comic book trope, but, of course, it's done in its own fun way. And once you see these villains together, it's actually quite interesting because they're such an erratic group of villains. Should be for a really fun storyline going forward. So Faith number 10 is $3.99 from Valiant Comics. Check it out. Can't give this one enough good press. I really enjoy it. The third book in the six shooter is the Star Wars story Rogue One movie adaption comic. I love what Marvel has been doing with the Star Wars books. I'm reading them all regularly. And this is, of course, the adaption of the recently released on DVD and digital Star Wars A Rogue One, a Star Wars story. They're doing the tie-in. Artwork is excellent. They capture the characters great. The moodiness of the comic, it begins, obviously, with the beginning of the movie where you get introduced to some characters. There's also a few things, since it's based on the screenplay, that, you know, are in there that may not have necessarily made it into the main film, as is always the case with these adaptions. And if you're a Star Wars fan and a Rogue One fan, you can pick it up. Check out. It's a nice adaption. They always do a great job with these. It's got a great cover, too, I got to say that. Kind of a movie poster-esque. Who was it? Phil Noto did the cover. And I actually just happened to be holding it here in front of me. So that is Rogue One, a Star Wars story comic book adaption, $4.99 from Marvel Comics. Available right this very minute if you can happen into your local comic store. Check it out if you enjoy the movie or you enjoy Star Wars. The next one on the six shooter. You know, I should get a cool sound effect for the six shooter as I introduce these. I'll have to look for that. That would be fun. I know, the things I just randomly blurt out on the air. Champions, number 7. The Champions are back. This is really an interesting title. Mark Waid does such a great job coming up with interesting concepts and ideas, and The Champions is one of his better ones because it's something that I think has been criticized a lot in modern comics, is that the superheroes aren't actually out helping people, and The Champions is the antithesis of that. Their whole goal is to go out and help people and not just punch things in the face. And that is also the main struggle of the book, is they try to change both the people's perception of how the superheroes in the Marvel Universe are, as well as, I think, how a super team is supposed to be formed and behaved. And you have a lot of their new teen heroes. A lot of them are quote-unquote replacement heroes, but they're all trying to find their place in the world and doing it together, which always, for me, has been an interesting read. I love books like the Teen Titans and things like that, and now the Champions, where these guys are trying to figure it all out. And they hit a major stumbling block in the most recent story arc as they come across a group of essentially paid mercenaries called the Freelancers, who go about spoiling their name. And it just goes to show you how quickly the tide of public opinion can turn, especially in the digital age. They're framed for beating up some homeless people, the Champions are, by the Freelancers. And it's their reaction to it, how they deal with the situation and try to recoup their good name, and how quickly people turn on them without any kind of real proof or backup. The knee-jerk reaction of the world today, where you don't necessarily need the facts to have a good story, and people will jump on it, which is a very true thing. And that's played well here. I think Champions continues to be one of Marvel's strongest titles. I wasn't sure about it. There were some characters I kind of dug, but some I didn't know about. And it's been really interesting to see as a whole this team progress and this book progress. And, of course, they have to come up with a clever way around it. Just when they thought they were out of the woods, they get another curveball, which has been the fun part of this series overall. There's been a couple glitches, but overall Champions is one of Marvel's best series, and I hope it's able to continue to grow organically and doesn't get thrusted into a lot of the Marvel craziness that a lot of young titles suffer because they're not allowed to grow because there has to be this giant crossover machine fed. So Champions number 7, $3.99 from Marvel Comics. You get to see the gang trying to clear their good name. And that's also available right now. My fifth book is actually one of the biggest books this week. A lot of press behind this one. X-Men Gold number 1, part of the resurrection kickoff, the rebooting essentially of the X-Men universe. They're trying to bring them back to prominence and bring them back to what made them great. If you've been an X-Men fan for the last couple of years, you know it's been a rough ride. Everything is so dark and morose and just one giant mega thing after another and characters just blatantly being obliterated, killed off, or just stripped of everything that made them great. Marvel fans have spoken up, and now we're back. We have Resurrection, and they're promising a return to greatness. The two key books off of that, we talked about X-Men Prime. If you were able to listen to some of the show last week, we had all these issues. Kind of introduced the world. X-Men Prime came in, set the table, and this is the first of the two books, the two team books, Blue and Gold. And this, of course, is X-Men Gold. And honestly, of the two books that came out, I was more interested in the X-Men Blue title. And that comes out next week. Because I'm a big fan of the original X-Men and the fact that they brought the younger X-Men in, I thought was an interesting tale to see how they react to the world and how their doppelgangers, their older versions, and might be alternate universe versions now, as we're discovering, act. But X-Men Gold had some heavy hitter fan favorites because you got Kitty Pryde, Colossus, Storm, Nightcrawler, and then they also have on the team, they're calling her Prestige now, but she's also been a Phoenix and Marvel Girl that you were talking about, Rachel Gray, and Old Man Logan, who's in this one because the regular Wolverine apparently is still encased in metal somewhere. So it was a heavy hitting fan favorite team. I was curious to see what they would do with it, but I wasn't all that excited about it because, like I said, I'm more of a fan of the original X-Men. But this was a really good first book. And you get to see them set the table. You see what things going on. It's very much a classic X-Men book in every sense of the word. And it literally felt like a classic reset of the table for the X-Men. And it's kind of weird that, as I was thinking about it, that the X-Men have had so many reboots and relaunches and resets after events that you have what is a classic resetting of the table feel. And hopefully you understand what I mean by that, but it definitely felt like the beginning of an X-Men series, a classic X-Men series. You got to see them play some softball, which was Charles Xavier, the mainstay when he was in charge. They did a lot of normal things like sports and group activities just to make them feel comfortable at home. And of course, you get into the adventure of the book, and you get to see some of the X-Men out there. And interesting that Kitty Pryde is, you know, the leader. She's come from the – I hope you – welcome to the X-Men, Kitty Pryde, to leading the X-Men, Kitty Pryde. So that was interesting in her relationships as she tries to get back with the team after a hiatus and all of those relationships. So X-Men Gold number one, it's $4.99 from Marvel Comics. It's the kickoff of the X-Men Gold series, and I enjoyed it a lot. I think if you're a fan of the classic X-Men, you should get something out of it. Like I said, there's a couple things that, you know, I'm not so sure to the old man Logan thing. I don't know why we just can't have Wolverine back as Wolverine. But that's a debate for a whole other time, and it seems to be a debate that's going all over the comic book world. But that's not one we're going to have this week on this show. But if you want to check it out, it's available in comic book stores right this very minute. Check it out. And the sixth book, I was back and forth on the sixth book. Really not one that jumped out at me and said, read me now. After I read a couple, I decided on Batman number 20 from DC Comics because it's the wrap-up of the big I Am Bane series. And this one, it started out really strong, creating Bane as this over-the-top villain that he once was, bringing him back into prominence. And this is the final part of that story arc, and it honestly, to me, was a bit of a miss. There were some big things I thought they could have done differently and ways they could have wrapped it up. How they chose to wrap it up, however, was interesting. You get to see into the psyche of Bruce Wayne as he's battling Bane and having this literal near-death experience. And ultimately, even though Bane is Bane, Batman is Batman. And that's literally what it comes down to in this issue. And really the most exciting part of it is now that I Am Bane is finished, we're getting ready for the two-part crossover with The Flash called The Button. And so I don't know if they rushed past this to have a conclusion because of the hype around The Button, but I think there was a few more character beats that they could have gotten into this one. But it's still, if you were into that storyline, it wraps up here. It wraps up in a different, very different way than I think most people were expecting, definitely more than I was expecting. You know, Batman 20, $2.99 from DC Comics. There's been quite a bit of talk about the ending of Batman versus Bane and how he took him out. I'll let you read it and decide for yourself, though. I just think that it threw people for a loop with how they approached it. And sometimes storytelling, that's the important thing, is you do things in a way that people don't expect, as long as it's not gratuitous. And this one, you know, I think they focused on the relationship with Batman and Bane as opposed to all of the subplots and things that we're carrying over. So that's this week's Six Shooter. Get out there to your local comic book stores and check out some of these books if you're interested, or pick out one of your own and let me know what you think of it. Always interested to hear what you guys are reading and into. Have some great conversations. And now, it's time for Maverick's Comic Roundup Secret Message for all you members of Maverick's Posse. Remember, kids, only members of Maverick's Posse can decode the secret message. Here is the current message. IRWUORPVGWYFOOHVBV. Don't worry, if you missed any of that message, you can go to mavericksroundup.com. Go to the secret code, and it's sitting right there for you to decode. Use your handy-dandy decoder to figure it out, and then email the decoded message to mav@mavericksroundup.com for your chance to win. I'll pick one correct entry each month, and they'll win this month's prize. So good luck with that, members. Decode the message and send it back. I'll pick one random winner. And this month's prize is a Funko Thor Pop from the most recent or not the most recent, from a recent Marvel Collector's Core box that I actually talked about on the show here. Send your pictures to Mavericks Comic Roundup. Send your original artwork, comic strips, or comic book doodles to Mav at MavericksComicRoundup.com. And I will feature them on my Facebook page and on the slideshow for this episode. I've been getting a couple in. They're showing up. Really enjoy what I've been getting. I got a couple more I've got to scan and put in there. Enjoying those. A couple people have been handing them to me, which is always exciting. For information on this show, my upcoming appearances, blog, and more, check out MavericksRoundup.com. And you can follow me on social media at Instagram at Mavericks Roundup and on Facebook at Mavericks Comic Roundup. And now on Snapchat at Mavs Roundup. You can also read my weekly comic book reviews for the Totally Driven Entertainment Network by going to TotallyDrivenTV.com. For more of my comic book reviews, go to the Comic Universe Facebook page at Comic Universe on Facebook. You can also check out my recent commercial for the comic book universe, or for Comic Universe, that I did for Liberty All-Star Wrestling promotional tie-in. That's been floating around. Thanks for all the feedback on that. And you can also follow my kids and family Star Wars podcast, Galactic Clubhouse, that I'm hosting with my daughters. I heard little Maggie on air today. Princess Maria has been calling in with her Dancers Read Dance Class segment, and soon we'll be having our own dedicated Star Wars show called Galactic Clubhouse. And you can check us out at Galactic Clubhouse on Facebook and on Instagram, and some exciting news about that. We're not going to be on the air next week for Easter Sunday. However, we are going to be in Florida for Star Wars Celebration. And I will be doing a lot of things on the Instagram and Facebook for Galactic Clubhouse. We'll be doing a lot of on-site reviews and things like that. We're also going to talk about it at great length when Mavericks Comic Roundup returns on April the 23rd, as we'll have pretty much a mini version of Galactic Clubhouse here on the show. Both girls will be calling in talking about what we saw both at Hollywood Studios as Galactic Nights events that's tying into, as well as Star Wars Celebration and the news and experiences that we had there. So we're really excited to do that. We can't wait. Hopefully you guys will follow along and check out what we're doing. And it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing for us, so we're really, really excited. It's how we're spending our spring break. So that looks like all the show we have. I think I covered everything, and we still managed to get done in 45 minutes. Not sure what happened there. So I do thank you for tuning in. Make sure you check out all of the great shows here on the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network, including Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferrara. My good friend Mike comes on twice a week talking pro wrestling. We have the Mojo Sports Show. And, of course, the flagship every Thursday night at 8, Totally Driven Radio with Bay. So thank you for tuning in. Appreciate the feedback and the listening. And we will see you in 2 weeks on April the 23rd for the next exciting adventures of Mavericks Comic Roundup. So until we meet again, happy trails.